Morning. Okay, just been reminded, just been sitting down there and just been reminded of a quote that, I think it was Tozer or someone said that, you know, the enemy, Satan, will and has opposed the doctrine of the Holy Spirit like none other. That's what I'm talking about today, the Holy Spirit. But I just want to say to you that... kind of just be aware that that this message is or hopefully biblical, it's real, but it's, you're going to have a reaction to it, and just watch for that reaction, because if what I'm saying is biblical and real, it has life-changing implications, doesn't it? And Satan doesn't possibly want you to hear this, so you know, try and stay awake. I'll try my best to do a little dance every so often to keep you awake. Maybe even watch out for those irritations. I might say something that you don't agree with. That's cool. You know, that's absolutely fine. But just don't let that irritation kind of get in the way. And I'll do my best to be clear in what I say. So it's a new series on the Holy Spirit. We've kind of felt as a leadership that we wanted to really kind of go into some detail on the Holy Spirit. We've had many, we're a Pentecostal church, we've had many talks in the past on the Holy Spirit. But we want to give a big chunk of time to it, not to rush it, to go deeper, to have a little more of an holistic kind of overview on it as well, and to encourage you. So there's going to be challenge and there's going to be encouragement to you over the next few months. Do you mind just popping that on the screen, guys? Thank you. I was wondering what to call the talk today. And you can see on your little kind of Bethel newsletters thing that it says something along the lines. Or can you read out what it says to me, someone? Because I've forgotten. Claiming your inheritance? Something along those lines? Someone?
Yeah?
Yeah, so it's we have everything in Christ, but claiming our inheritance. I've decided I don't like that title, so I've my fault, it was my title, so don't blame anyone else. It was entirely my fault. But I've gone for this instead. I kind of like that title, but I like this one more. So I'm just going to look over my shoulder. Desiring more and responding to that call to go deeper. Okay? But if you like the other title, you stick with that. It's fine. Now, David challenged me last week when you were talking. Something about how preachers can throw out words, can't they? You know, and there's a word I've just thrown out, deeper. And it's okay for people that have been in church for some time. But, you know, really, you know, what am I talking about when we talk about deeper? I don't want to assume that we're kind of in agreement as to what it means. I'm thinking what deeper means. I'm thinking it means richer. I'm thinking it means more real. I'm thinking somehow that our experience of the Holy Spirit affects us and affects others. There's more power there. There's more healing. But I like that kind of word of richness, reality, making things real. Okay? And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit, what are we talking about? We certainly are talking about more power, more gifts, but I equally want to emphasize more knowledge of God, more revelation, that you have those moments, we have those moments when we go, wow, it's real. That's what I feel about knowledge. It's real. Those light bulb moments. We so need those moments in our lives, don't we? When we go, my goodness, I've read about it. Now I know it. Now I know it. And above all, more of the Holy Spirit is about more about falling in love. It really is. It's about a love relationship. It's a bit ringy, but I'll try it. No, don't worry, it's fine. Can we make an agreement to start? There's going to be things you don't agree with me when I'm saying, but I reckon reading down this list now, you're going to agree with these things. When we say more of the Holy Spirit, we are saying more of God. God in three persons. So I think we're in agreement there. Let's have that holistic view. Yes, there's a distinct function of the Holy Spirit, but we are saying more of God. Now just pause. Wow. More of God. It's crazy, isn't it? Just let that go in. Next point is, and I'm preaching out of weakness here, none of us have it nailed when it comes to knowing the Holy Spirit. Should we just kind of raise our hand to that? You don't, okay. Metaphorically and literally. None of us have sorted it completely. how could we possibly sought God? We go biblically, we seek to experience, but we all have our boxes, don't we? Theological boxes. You know, even us good charismatic Pentecostals, we are in danger sometimes of saying, well, I've got it sussed. And I just want to say, let's be in a place of humbleness and suppleness of heart where we are open to more. Joe challenged me last night in your great little testimony, and there's a third point I want to make here, about experience. We've got to be biblical. We have to go from the book first. But there is that tension between, also as Christians, we are called, I think, in some way to experience. But again, I can be misunderstood with the word experience. I'm not necessarily talking about being emotional. Emotions do come and go, don't they? Feelings do come and go. But there's an experience that goes even deeper than emotions as well. So I think what I'm going to say today is, seeking more of God, more of the Holy Spirit, will have an experiential element to it, but there's something deeper in an experience also. Now, I had a bit of a kind of dilemma in the middle of the week. I felt a little bit kind of pastoral, a little bit kind of like I was leading you this morning. And I had a real crisis of confidence, and I had three questions. I thought, Gary, how can you come out the front here, talk? You've got people's hearts, you've got people's lives that, in a sense, I'm holding for a moment, aren't I? And I want to be honest to you and say these were my dilemmas, and these are the questions that we're going to kind of talk about a bit today. I've already kind of mentioned one of them. The first one, should I emphasize in our Christian life experience? I talked about how we first go to the Bible. Should I emphasize experience as a, you know, as an elder of this church? Should I be encouraging you and myself to be seeking more of the Holy Spirit? Because there is a danger of me saying to you, you can seek more of God, that I'm possibly saying, or you're feeling, you're not satisfied where you are. So I've got that dilemma. Should I be encouraging a dissatisfaction, or should I be encouraging you to feel satisfied right now? And again, just good old David, or good young David, I should say, from last week, the tension between things. And I think we've got a tension here between being satisfied in Christ. But is it biblical? Is it okay to be unsatisfied with where we're at? That's my dilemma. And thirdly, what am I saying when I say there is more of the Holy Spirit? How do we access more of that Holy Spirit? I mean, seriously, it's got to be a practical question, isn't it? Here I am, Lord. More of the Holy Spirit. And my big question that's been on my mind for weeks is, which way is that? Is it this way? The Holy Spirit comes that way. So almost from outside to in. Or is it when I'm saying for more of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about inside of me getting out? Or is it both? And I want to free us today, because sometimes our boxes, our theological boxes, can restrict us in actually seeking more, because we think it's one or the other, but maybe God is just too big for that and it's inside out every which direction. I don't know. But I just want to hold those things out for you. Experience. Should we experience God? Should we feel God? Should our walk with God be one that touches us? Jesus said, or replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. And he was echoing Deuteronomy, which also says, with all your strength. The first commandment. I would just say that I think authentic Christianity has to have an experiential experience element to it. You can't love with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength without that evoking something. And I know the good that does me to be dancing and open to the Lord. But I know also that there are emotions deeper, hope, peace, joy. And they aren't necessarily feelings, are they? But they are hallmarks of the Holy Spirit. Again, I was touched by some testimony over the last few weeks of people saying, I've been to that hard place, that place of trial and suffering. And like in Peter, where it says, you know, through your trials and suffering. You haven't seen him, but you love him. And as you do so, you're filled with an inexpressible joy. So somehow, the element of suffering and trials is linked to this. So it doesn't have to be a happy feeling we're talking about here. A deep feeling. A deep feeling. I think that's the key. And again, don't look at other people. The song said it this morning, didn't it? Lovely song. About the third or fourth song. Brilliant choice of song. It's something about don't look around at the other gifts. Don't look around at other people's reactions. Some people are naturally more extrovert and emotional. Don't gauge the Holy Spirit based on just that. Base it on a depth of what's going on in your life, I think. It's really, really important. So my next pastoral dilemma. Should we be asking for more? And I tried to put up two pictures there. One of a beautiful oasis, a deep pool, and another of a mirage. You know, just the heat creating what seems to be a deep pool, but there's nothing there. And my dilemma was, where am I taking you today? Am I just taking you to a mirage? Am I just encouraging you to seek something that is not within your grasp? Because that is a real dilemma for me. I would rather sit down right now. I'd rather sit down right now than say you can have more of the Holy Spirit if I'm not right. But I think I'm convinced in my own life there's more to be taken. There's more to be taken. There's more of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to hang in there and keep on talking. You know, we want to be biblical. We want it to be centered on Christ. But Christ himself said, I have living water, didn't he? Living water. John 4 with the Samaritan woman. He also said in John 7, streams of living water will flow from within. I think there's more. But we're faced with this dilemma. If we're honest, if I'm honest, we sometimes wonder where those streams of living water are, don't we? I think, I'm sure it's not just me. Sometimes we don't even feel thirsty. Sometimes we probably don't even really want to drink. And sometimes we kind of get to that beautiful pool there, we get to the deep end of God, the deeper, rich things of God. We look at it and go, I'm not sure I want that. It might look too scary. The implications of it are too vast for my life. Just not sure. We've all been there, haven't we? We're all there probably to some extent. Two quotes. And that comes back to my title, really. In Christ, you have everything. You do. We'll come on to that in a minute. But manifestly, there are times, I'm paraphrasing here, we aren't always living in the light of all we've received in Christ. I think we can agree to that. You have everything, but somehow we're not accessing it all. Billy Graham, it's a great quote. Everywhere I go, I find God's people lacking something. They're thirsty for something. Their Christian experience somehow is not all they expected. The most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women of God who profess Jesus be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know, I think, to encourage you here, it's a sign of good health, good spiritual health, if you're sitting here and just a little bit you're thinking, gosh, yeah, I need to thirst more. Gosh, yes, I need more. Gosh, yes, maybe I'm not seeing. It's a sign of spiritual health to actually want more. Do not feel discouraged if there's something of that going on. Yeah? If we saw a child maybe not eating, a baby not eating, we'd be concerned, wouldn't we? You know, if we saw, to stretch the metaphor, if we saw a married couple where one is maybe not wanting intimacy, we'd be concerned for that marriage. If we saw a bird not flying, we'd be concerned for that bird. We are made, I think, to desire more. So be encouraged, be encouraged. And if like we all have, we've been in a place where we don't want more, that's okay as well, because you're recognizing it. I'm pushing on that one. I want to get biblical for 5 minutes, and then we're going to get practical. Is that okay? We're doing pretty well here. So what's my basis for saying there is more? Okay, because we want to be biblical. You've seen this passage so many times. I'm just going to read it to you. It's up there if you just want to follow it. I've, It's from Ephesians, first chapter. I've cut out a few bits in the middle just for keeping it brief. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Jumping to verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you, Bethel, were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, Bethel, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Do you notice the phrase that keeps on being repeated? Anyone want to chuck out what they think the phrase is? Something that comes across? Sorry? Good points. It's personal to us. The one I noticed was in him. All these things are given to us in him. And if you look at this, every part of that reading is in the past tense or the present tense. In other words, you have it all ready. Thank you. You have it all already. You're already there. Those who believe were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That should encourage. Look at the next verse. We transition now. The next little bit of Ephesians. I've also put a bit of Ephesians 3 in. Watch the difference. It flows, the next verse. We are literally flowing into the next verse with that for this phrase, for this reason. So all that has flowed for this reason. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparably great power for those of us who believe. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that's Christ's riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness in God. And I'm sure you spot there the phrase that is different. We started with what's in him and what we can have because of him. And then we transition to what they call the subjunctive, what they call it, verb, whatever. It's conditional. You may have it. That's Paul's heart for you, that you will have it. But can you see the difference there? This is offered to you. And what is offered to you? These beautiful three things. Whoops. What is offered to you is revelation and knowledge. Knowing God's love and power. Those three things. That is more of the Holy Spirit. That you may have it. Let's look beyond our boxes as to what the whole Holy Spirit thing is. For me, it might be quite for you, for me, that first one of, the second one, sorry, of understanding God's love is huge. That we may have more of the Holy Spirit power come upon us. God, you love me. God, you love me. That will change everything, won't it? I read that Jesus Christ is Lord. That revelation of knowledge says, I will know he's Lord. I've read that God is my Father, says it in the Bible. But suddenly Romans 8 says, I will know Abba, Father. It's all the difference in the world. It's all the difference in the world between just reading it and knowing it. And that's what we are offered. That's what I'm offered. And please do not think for one moment I'm here knowing this all. I long, can I tell you, I long to be fathered by God. You know that, some of you. I long to love him like a lover loves. That's biblical as well, for those that find that a bit strange to hear. I long to be in love with God. I do. I've touched it, but I want more. And just so you don't misunderstand me, there are times that I don't. Okay? Do we really believe what we're reading here? That we may know God's love? That we may know he's risen for us, that he's Lord? That we may have power, the gifts to effect change in our world and in people's lives around us? Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Because if we do, there's one more question left, and now I get practical. There's only one left question remaining. What holds us back? Guys, young and old, what holds us back? Now that is for the next few weeks, the next month. I can't go into all that today. I wish I could, but no. You know, hold on to that. Keep that question in your heart. What holds us back? We'll look a little bit in the next few weeks at the sense, possibly it's our sense of unworthiness, of guilt, of sin that maybe holds us back. I think the biggest one is that sense of wanting to be in control, because it's so big to all our lives, isn't it? It's scary. Come on, let's be honest, it is, isn't it? Yeah? On such a deep level, not just practical finance level, of every emotional level, letting go is, and it's so against what the kind of old person, can I use the old man or woman, wants. You know, we are a new creation, but there's something within us still, that kind of root that says, I just don't want to let go. Recognize it, confess it, it's okay. One thing I do want to say though, about receiving more of the Spirit and what hinders is, are you willing to be sent? Thank you. You guys are so encouraging at the back, can I just say? I don't just mean, Christiana, I don't mean literally being sent to Ukraine or other places, but there's possibly an element of that. But sent is, are you willing to go just to your neighbour, to Witten, to wherever? Are you giving your feet almost to God? Because here's the deal. The Father sent the Son. Yeah? The Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit sends us. That's God's way of it. We are not going to receive the fullness if we are rigid. We have to be directional. And that way, in a sense, it's outward, isn't it? We're not just going to be selfish, charismatic Pentecostals who just receive this good feeling. It's flowing at us for a reason, in power for a reason. Yep. But having said that, it's good to also dwell and be loved by the Lord. So, you know, there is a balance there. Can I indulge you for 2 minutes? Can I share my experience of seeking more of the Holy Spirit? I became a Christian at 20. I was around the time when I was in that rich time of the Holy Spirit moving, you know, in Bethel and also at Stony, where I used to go each year in the summer. And there would be regularly, there would be receiving moments for the baptism of the Spirit. I went up 3 or 4 years in a row. I did not receive what I felt was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay, that's fine. That just didn't happen. I got a little bit discouraged I was doing what the song said I shouldn't do. I was looking around at everyone. They seem to be doing this. They seem to be more charismatic. They seem to be operating. And actually, there's okay to look at other people. And that they seem to be more in love with Jesus. I want that. But I got discouraged. I was brought through that time by a couple of amazing talks from a couple of gifted speakers at Stoneleigh. And one particular chap just kept focusing on the cross and saying, you seek the giver, not just the gifts. It's okay to seek the gifts, but you're seeking, when you say more of the Spirit, you're saying more of God. Just seek him. Just seek him. And the gifts will come because it's God. And that really encouraged me. And then that John 7 one about streams of living water flowing from within came a really key text for me. On the day, last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, streams of living waters will flow from within. And I started to realize that I wasn't a second-class Christian. There aren't two types of Christian. And you know that, don't you? I have the seal of the Holy Spirit in my life, even back as a 21-year-old. I was born again. But I started to cry out for more of that living water. And I couldn't get my head around, even back then, whether it would come this way to me or it would come that way to me, whether it's an external baptism in the Holy Spirit, as we read a lot about in Acts, or whether it's more an Ephesians thing that comes from within. But I was hungry, and I became thirsty for more. And slowly, didn't happen to me, it might do for, and I recognize it happens to some people in a moment. For me, it was like starting in the shallow end and walking slowly into the deeper end. And that was my experience. And I could never deny that for myself. And also, I would encourage you, there are ways to get to the deep end. We've just got to believe there's a deep end. Yeah? Actually, it probably, the key to this deep end is not inside or out, which way it is, Holy Spirit. It is, are you thirsty to go deeper? Are you hungry to go deeper? Because that's the key. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I have exercised some of them, but I want more of them. I've been lost in worship, overwhelmed by his love on a few occasions, which I long for again. I know it's real. But for me, it was a slow process. How can I encourage you? We're finishing. This is good. How can I encourage you to long for more of the Holy Spirit? Because let's be honest. Some of us, we need to pray, Lord, I want to long. I'm not longing. I want to long to long. Lord, and you can keep going with that, can't you? I long to long to long to long. You can keep going back as far as you want, and God will honor that prayer. I think it makes sense. I'm not thirsting, Lord, but I thirst to thirst to thirst. It's okay. Start somewhere. And one of the things I'd say to start somewhere is immerse yourself. Remember back when you were in love. I put that down there, the ache, aching for those days again. There are days that I ache for again. Days when I was so lost in worship, I didn't care what anyone thought of me, and I was just in love with my Jesus. There have been times when I just felt I could get alongside someone, and I seemed to have a word for them, and it seemed to touch them. I long for those days again, and it's almost like I have to bring them to mind and experience that ache. Maybe that's dissatisfaction. Maybe it's holy dissatisfaction. I believe, and I'll show you in a second, it's biblical as well. Recall the time, I've written this down, I'll read it to you. Recall the times when you've been used by God to bring the gospel to others. Recall the times when you encouraged others with your words, with God's healing. Perhaps you could, and I love these, read these stories of revival from old. Read some of these things of yesteryear, of yestercentury. They will encourage you. It always started with one person wanting more. It always starts with one person wanting more. The second one, and this is the one I think is most important. Church, find your voice. If you're wanting more, sometimes you've just got to whisper it out. I've been struggling. You know, there are times when I struggle to even offer a prayer, Lord, give me more. It's almost like my lips are sealed. But there's something about speaking it out. And literally, it's almost begrudgingly coming from my spirit. Gosh, Satan does oppose that. Lord, more. More. Speak it out. Hear your voice. It's something about hearing your voice rather than just internalizing it. And be honest when you're praying these prayers. I've written this down. Here's a prayer from me, an honest prayer. God, I'm not sure about this. I'm scared. Truth be told, I'm not even sure I want it. But I know you're good. And that, we'll come on to talks on this later on. I know you're good. I know that you give good gifts. Help me to long to long. Help me to hunger. Come and work on my heart. Open me up. Do whatever it takes. Even create a holy discontentment if that's what it needs. You've got to hunger. Those top two points are really well summed up in a lovely psalm, which I believe is one of the ones that you chose, Alan. Psalm 42, one of the possible songs at the end. Psalm 42, just look at those two points of being honest before God and recalling those days. Psalmist in Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Can you hear the ache there? Where can I go to meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Can you feel that ache? How I used to go. I want to be back there again. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me. Find your voice, be honest, see what happens. And the last one. Search and hold on to what you find. Right, let me explain that one. There was something, and it was mentioned last week, about going to scriptures and I can't remember exactly the phrase, but there was a sense of, I come away with that thinking, I'm being encouraged to search the scriptures. And that's part of the deal here. When you open up your Bible tonight, tomorrow, whenever you do, know that you're searching for God, searching for treasure, so to speak. And whatever you find that reveals something, you're going to have to hold on to that. Because the fight is, it will somehow disappear from your hands. When God gives us something of more of him, you've actually got to be determined and tenacious and hold on to it. Otherwise, it does seem to just go, evaporate in the kind of sun. Hold on to it. Know it's treasure worth having. But more than that, more than just holding on to the words of the Bible, hold on to God himself. And know that actually, he just wants to hold on to you. I'm in danger here. After saying not being emotional, I'm in danger here of finishing with a bit of emotion. this passage is crazy. This one just undoes me every time. Song of Songs. There is some debate as to whether it should be in the Bible, because Solomon wrote it just to kind of about a love between a man and a woman. But a lot of people say it's a metaphor of God's love for us, his bride. His love for the church, his love for us. This just breaks me. When I long for God, when I long for more of him, this is my call. This is my heart, I think. All night long on my bed, I look for the one my heart loves. I looked for him but did not find him. I will get up now, and I will go about the city, through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but I did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and I would not let go. And the crazy thing about that was, her lover was searching for her and was actually watching her and pursuing her. And that's God. We're searching for him, we're saying more of him. But he's just like, yes, I'm here. I'm here. And we realize he just wants to be close. He wants to give. And I'm just going to leave this on the board now, on the screen. We're just going to finish, okay? I'm not going to ask for a response. I and a few others will be here if you want prayer at the front. But I'm not asking for that today. I'm not evoking some kind of emotional response here. There'll be a few songs. I'm going to leave that on the board. I just want you to dwell on it for a few moments. Don't rush out. But when you feel ready, feel free to go for your tea and coffee. But be tenacious. Search and hold on. Just don't rush over the next few days on this. If anything I've said is real, it has amazing implications, doesn't it, for our lives? So I finish with some questions. It's based on Song of Songs, some questions for you. Will you lie on your bed all night looking and longing for his love? That's not necessarily all night. Do you know what I mean? It's a kind of metaphor for seeking him. But if all night is your thing, that's okay. Will you hear him speak words of love over you, knowing his thoughts for you? Will you hear him knock as he bids you open to him? Will you arise to him and be willing to go out into the night after him, no matter what obstacle stands in our way? Will you show the world that you are his, beloved, and he is mine? Will you desire the one who desires you and take him into the secret place? More of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is may you like Paul, may I, like Paul, go there. More of the Holy Spirit, more of God himself. More power, more giftings. More knowledge that he is real and Lord, but most of all, more knowledge that you're in a love relationship with him. So you may grasp how high and wide and far and all that. Let's press in, yeah? Lord, I want to bless everyone here. Do that deep thing, Lord. May our hearts reach out to you. May we discover just how much you love us. Amen.